WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. A big shout out to our friends at Wise Markets. We are now having wise conversations to go along with our intelligent conversations, and I promise this will be one of them, and we're going to get together soon. Don Moeller and I are going to put the band back together over in Catonsville in the 21228. We're going to be doing some outdoor distanced, maybe not distance as much as you think next month, because I am getting my shot this week over at State Fair and El Guapo. We're bringing the band back together. We're going to start doing some more getting back out. That's the reason we did Baltimore Positive 2.5 years ago. It's been now a year and a couple of months since we've been out. State Fair will be our first stop next month. We'll have more details for that. As I begin my crab cake tour, I'm sure that'll be part of that. We're going to begin the crab cake tour, however, where the crab cakes begin, which is at Fadley's at Lexington Market. They're coming to Catonsville as well. They're shipping them all over the world. I know our guest here doesn't have crab cakes where she is right now, so we could ship those from Fadley's. Also, our friends at Costas will be involved in that as well, and I'll be telling you more about our crab cake tour. And a shout out to Jeff Moeller, who's going to come here and try to sell my condo with this lovely view. It doesn't always have the heart out the window on the hospital downtown, but it does. Moeller and Gary Realty getting it done during the middle of the pandemic while these low interest rates are there. Make sure you're selling as I am or buying as you might be doing. Don, I know this is one of your favorite guests here. You go deep into the family Rolodex for this one. Ooh. And since the last time we had her on, my hair is growing. She's probably ready for me to enter practice with her, you know, wondering, you know, what I need to get done here this summer and improve. But she had a TED Talk. And, you know, I mean, there are very few things left on my bucket list, but if I ever get to give a TED Talk, my family would crow about it. So, Don, go ahead and crow about your family here.
I do. My little sister, who has so many letters behind her name, I can't keep track of them all. We just call her our favorite mental health counselor and Baltimore Positive residents. We're going to get into TED Talk, a big conference she's running. But, Patty, before we get into all of that, man, I thought this morning, before we came on the air, there was an article that came across my news feed.
It's always an article, Patty.
That took me all the way back to your first appearance on Baltimore Positive. And it was a depressing article that said the nation now is seeing its highest rate of opioid overdoses since the early 90s when the opioid epidemic was at its worst, and they drew a direct line to the social isolation of the past 14 or 15 months. And I said, holy mackerel, Patty Moeller, licensed mental health counselor down there in Jacksonville, has been talking about this for 18 months. Just simply say to you, Patty, are you seeing that? Give us an update. And what's happening in the world of mental health as we try to dig out of this pandemic?
I love that. And by the way, I have a dog that's now playing. Can you hear him with a toy? So
that's good. Bring him over. Put him on the set. We love dogs. What kind of dog you have?
Nestor loves pets.
Whatever. Hello, everybody. So, yeah, thank you for asking that question. I actually put out, I'm on a lot of different networks for mental health counseling. And I actually said that I was coming on Baltimore Positive. And, you know, not so that I'm myopic and saying what I think and what I see. I asked people around this country to join in and say what they're saying. And it's exactly that. I don't think people paid attention to us a year and a half ago when we were saying, hold on, you are going to see things happen in this country that we haven't seen before. And it's the truth. We've never seen teen suicide rates higher than they've ever been. We've never seen the opioid crisis more. We've never seen alcoholism or domestic violence at its highest. I am 3 weeks out for clients trying to schedule an appointment, and that's just in my little world. There is...
Every therapist I know is overwhelmed. I know enough of you. I know a dozen of you in my world, and none of you need any business right now. You need clients that can turn this around, which is what you stand in the middle of trying to do, right?
Right, we are. And I think that's the hard part is people have not paid attention until now. And shows like this really bring it to the forefront. We will be watching this for years and years to come. We are only seeing the little tiny tip of this iceberg. And people are like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Hold on to our hats. It's only going to get worse. Great example of this is I work with somebody who places people in crisis into a rehab center. And normally, and I talked to her at the beginning of March, and she said, Patty, I normally have 32 cases on my desk in a month. She said, it is March 4th, and I have 42 unopened cases on my desk in 4 days. 4 days, 42 cases.
Well, and Patty, that begs the question. I apologize.
That's ten times, right? So instead of one a day, that's 10 a day.
Okay. It's 10 a day. It begs the question, Patty. How do we dig at it? You know, we did a previous segment earlier. Nestor, this is our day to try to solve problems that are so complex. But we were talking about crime and homicides and how you dig out of this terrible homicide issue in Baltimore City. Now, you use that status or that piece of data. And I know Nestor and I are thinking, how do we start to climb out of this, Patty?
We can't give up what we said we should be doing. It's talking to people. I think as the country slowly opens back up, people are no longer doing that. We've stopped calling nursing centers. We've stopped calling people that are isolated. We've not tuned back into individuals who are living by themselves and are isolated.
But by the way, can I say something? And this is today is day 26 of me being alone. My wife has been with her mother, her sister in Florida. She caught a cold, so she's staying down there another week. She's down where you are, where all the sunshine is and all the germs are. And such great governance you have down there, too, I might add, too. But nonetheless, you know, it is amazing. I've done 26 days here alone. I probably only left 4 times in 26 days because I don't have my shot yet. I'm getting my shot tomorrow, so pray for me. But it is – it is different, and I have thought a lot in the last month about like, oh, this is what single was like during the pandemic. You know, like a big day for me is going to Royal Farms to get some chicken and gassing up. I'll be honest. I mean, like literally going out to Wise Markets. I'm out of berries. Berries are on sale. Bananas are on sale. I'm out of bananas. I got to get to Wise Markets, but I'm an in and out and mask on, and I haven't smiled or spoken to. It's not normal, Patty. You know what I mean? There's nothing normal about any of our experiences. And luckily for me, you know, I've gone away and prayed with Tony Robbins for weeks at a time. And this is on my desk for a reason and things that I've been working on myself when I'm alone. But if not for my training and fire walks and 25 years of taking deep dives into self-development, I really worry about a 52-year-old guy who hasn't done any of that and needs to call you and you're on 3 weeks of backup because his life's falling apart.
And I think one of the things that we're seeing is it's not just women, it's the men at home. You know, I have a lot of men in my office right now that are feeling it because they've never worked from home, and they've never worked from home with a wife at home who's working and 3 children at home and how to homeschool. We do not step in. And as soon as your life feels better because you're out and about or you have a spouse, as soon as you feel better, everyone else is still being ignored. So the question of how do we do this? We don't give up still calling people, still tuning in. Calling a nurse and saying, how the heck are you? You know, it's hard for me sometimes to sit in these conversations when the mask issue is a political one. I sat with 4 families yesterday, 4, you guys, 4 out of my 8, all had lost spouses or entire families due to COVID. And so when you sit with that all day, and kind of come home. And I will admit, last night was one of those nights I didn't really sleep. I've been up since 4 because it's hard for us sometimes to turn it off, right? One family had lost both parents. One had lost a child. One had lost another sibling. And so when you sit with that and see the reality of what that's doing to people, the trauma, I've said from day one, that this entire scenario has created PTSD. And what's coming to fruition is what I've predicted all along. People that have had unresolved trauma are really feeling it. People who didn't know they had trauma are really feeling it. And nobody is in concert with that, one of the therapists wrote on there, please tell the people out there that I'm making $25 an hour. That's all the insurance is paying me, $25 an hour. And I talked to a colleague yesterday. She saw 12 clients yesterday. It's hard for us to do that. So I also say to anybody out there in your audience, if you know a family member or you know if somebody else is a therapist, call and check in on them. That's truly one of the things. I had two people out on a Facebook yesterday, and I didn't know them, but they're like, where do we go? But I think the bigger question is that the staying positive, keep calling everybody, still check in with everybody. Be real careful about flippant conversations about, well, let's go have a drink today. We don't know how that's affecting somebody on the other end of Zoom calls and that's another thing. We have people losing their jobs left and right because they're drinking all day. And so when they show up and pretty sloppy, they're losing jobs. It's just people are hurting. We can't give up checking in, loving on, and letting people tell us their stories.
Patty, when this thing began a year ago, I had a friend in Italy. She's from Baltimore. She's actually running she's running for office in Italy. She's from Baltimore, and I'm trying to support her from over here. So shout out to you, Jody Cutler. But, in the beginning, the Italian story was older family members are dying alone. And we would see these body bag pictures. This is before the pandemic really. This is when the orange man was lying to everybody, like March, April of last year. And, I guess a year later, when you tell me you're sitting with people who've lost family members, right? This isn't a car crash or a plane crash or a cancer or what my wife went through. This is you got sick on Monday. You went into the hospital on Tuesday. Nobody could come and see you, and you never came home. That's how people are dying in this plague. And then the family members call you and get counseling on a Wednesday morning. And the feeling of isolation, like I saw that glove. There was a story going around this week about a rubber glove with hot water in it.
Yeah,
that they were putting on people's hands to make them feel the humanity of not only fighting. I cannot imagine my wife being 155 nights in the hospital fighting for her life as she did twice and me not being allowed to go there.
Go in.
And, we've seen these heartwarming stories of the senior centers where older dementia patients, all of these things that have happened. But for you, what you're seeing with these trauma families who've lost family members, I would think deep down in all of that, every one of them wanted to do something they couldn't do. And that's a devastating thing to think that Uncle Charlie's in the hospital over there and he's going to die and he got this thing, this plague. And then the aftermath of that for everyone left behind coming to find you.
Well, I think also one of the things, and I talk a lot about it, is we get a mindset. We think January 1 is going to come and we're going to bring in the new year and it's going to be great. And we thought the vaccines would come and we thought we'd be getting back to work. And that's what's grabbing people right now, is that's not happening. We're used to that. It's 2020, whatever, right? And it's new year, but nothing changed. And that surprised people. They had that expectation that things would change, and that shock that it hasn't, that shock that, hey, we're all going to bring this company back in April. Well, now we're thinking September. Well, now we're really thinking maybe October or another. So people's expectations keep moving and they don't know what to grab onto. That's our problem. We don't have anything to ground us right now. Most of us are used to getting up, going to the office. That grounds us. But when the only place you move is from my desk, which is here, my Zoom right now, I'll clear it off. I'll have dinner here. I'll clear it off. I'll do Zoom here. I'll sit in that chair for a different variety. And then I'll go to that couch so I can watch TV. And then I come back here to eat. It's like not anything that we can ground ourselves.
Feels more like a jail.
I don't, for some people, it probably does. But I think we're looking for tangible things. And like I said, it's a moving target right now, when we'll feel better, when we'll get back to work. people would love to get back to work. And but to be honest, for some of my introverts, they're having a party, boy. My introverts are like, this is the coolest
thing. Linda Moeller's really happy from what I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, she wasn't unhappy. It wasn't terrible for her.
Yeah, introverts don't mind.
Patty and I have talked about this. Linda, being self-aware, would say periodically, I know this is hell for you. You know, yeah. I've often told the joke that she says, there's no doubt that for you, we know what hell is. You show up, you're in hell. You wake up, you see the devil, and you say, where's everybody else? And the devil says, sorry, bud, you're it. She goes, I know that's hell. So you're right.
The introvert, extrovert. Hey, Don, you let Linda know that, like, you know, the extrovert in me appreciates the introvert in her, you know, that maybe I'm not as extroverted as I thought I was. You know, plague hasn't been nearly that bad for me. Maybe it's Zoom. I'm not sure.
Zoom has helped. Zoom has helped everybody, and we won't. Again, it's still – it's a two-dimensional version of people. As a therapist, we still really struggle with Zoom. It's better. We can see our clients, but I can't see any one of your hands. I can't see your psychomotor agitation underneath a desk. I still don't get that sense of what's really happening. I can see.
What do you call that? Psychomotor? What?
I knew you'd like that. You'd like that.
Well, I don't do it as much. Like, I used to do it, drive my wife nuts. I think I do it a lot less.
What was that again, Patty?
Is that when you kick your legs? You have motion under your legs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to do that all the time, man. Yeah.
Well, Patty, in the midst of all this, we only have a few more minutes because you actually have a job to do and go help people. You recently, in the midst of all of this, as Nestor said, you did one of his dream gigs. You did a TED Talk. So first of all, you've written about it. You've thought about it. How does one get to do a TED Talk? What did you talk about, and how can people find it? Talk about the experience.
The experience is, you know, I have done public speaking in my life quite a bit. There is nothing to prepare you for a TED Talk. There is nothing. They do give you TED School, by the way, to try to help you. But even
so, what do they tell you in TED School? Don't be dumb. Say interesting things. Make people think. Is that what they say?
Kind of. And yet it's there's a little bit more strategies kind of to it. But yeah, you know, I think it's one of those things. I was encouraged to do it because of all my public speaking, and I kind of did it on a fluke because I was trying to get somebody off my back, to be honest. And so I just started putting in applications quite a few places. I was recommended to one out of Nashville, Lenox Village, and they accepted. It was interesting. They wanted a 5-minute video pitch, and I thought, am I going to go to do this? And I did, and just didn't even look at the computer because I thought, what chances do I have? And sure enough, by 6 o'clock that night, they were like, we love this. It's great. Let's do it. So it was really exciting. It was really fun. There's a lot of criteria. They have an awful lot of restrictions that you better be careful on doing and knowing what you're talking about. And you submit an entire script, and I have had people be told they're not accepted because it doesn't fit their guidelines. They're very strict. So, yeah, it was just an interesting, very interesting. The thing that I thought was amazing for me as I stood in front of the cameras, and I've done camera work before, so I didn't really think about me, was, as I say, the monkeys were let loose in my head, and it was an ongoing dialogue while I was trying to deliver a speech, and it was so confusing, so confusing. And it was interesting, though, because I was like, am I saying these words in my head? Or am I saying my speech? And yeah, it was just a mind-blowing experience, but positive. I looked this morning before I popped on. There's been over 1,500 people that have downloaded it and seen it. So I'm excited. I would like that to be times 10.
Well, sell it. What's the topic?
Where do they get to go find it? Yeah, tell our listeners.
All you need to do, folks, is go to TED.com and put in Patty Moeller, PattyMoeller, and I'll pop up. The TED Talk was called Invitation to Change, Transforming Lives One Word at a Time. And I really suggest that people use a one-word exchange program to transform lives. Instead of using the word you, use the word I. I try to get people never to use the word you. Not to ever use the why question. It truly is a judgment question. And so we shut down. So I say use any of the other whodunits, because then we're going to invest in the story.
Give us an example of that, Patty. Patty, give somebody a concrete example of where you would substitute something for why.
Why are you wearing that shirt today? Because it was
because it's blue and it looks nice, and I thought you'd like it.
Right?
I thought it was your favorite color. You don't like my shirt?
And I love your shirt. That's going to get a whole different, yeah, I bought it. I'm going to get a story. If I just went, why are you using that background? You're going to go, because it's Baltimore Positive. If I go, I love that background.
You know why I used this for you? I used it for you because you're full of love and he's full of baseball. So that's why I did pick this on purpose. So everything I do is intentional. There's nothing I do that doesn't have a thought behind it.
So now, let me see. You've got 9 bazillion clients that you're trying to get back to a mentally healthy state. You did a TED Talk, which has got to be one of the most pressurized situations anyone can ever face. And then you said, you know what? Why not have a global summit featuring women from all over the, not the United States, from all over world. The world.
I saw you were doing that on Facebook. I saw that yesterday. All right.
Talk to us about a global summit for change. Yeah. Promote that.
So excited. It's called the Invitation to Change, and we are doing it live. You can go to my website, Renew Restore Retreat. You can grab a free pass. It's free to anybody who wants to join. I'm also just created that we're doing on April 25th. We're going to do a live around the world Facebook live. Super. Yeah, there it is. Thank you.
Nice.
That's just a couple of our speakers. I have one out there with all 18 or 20 of our speakers. But I just really decided that we need to hone in and help one another. We're being lost. And when you do a global summit like this, you just need to find a niche somehow. So my first round of speakers are women of law. And it was fascinating to talk about because we're debunking the myth of superwoman. And I truly believe that every woman is a superwoman. But the superwoman syndrome is actually very harmful to women. And that's when we think we can do it all. We have to do it for everybody. We have to be on go. And it's a myth. And we've all bought into it. And
it's something for television.
I just think that, you know, so it was really fun for me because I had a young attorney who had only been an attorney for 6 months. And then I had attorneys that were retired. And to have them having these wonderful conversations, the young attorney was honest and said, hey, I read all your advertisements and how you asked me to come on. I had to Google what you were talking about. And I thought, perfect. And let's get her an education that you can overdo, oversource, and you're not left with much of you. Maybe you can do that when you're in your 20s and 30s. But almost everyone that came on the panel was like, superwoman doesn't work. Can you do it all? Yes. Do you do it all well? No. And so you have to choose. You know, you have to make some decisions. And yet I think many of my panelists came on and talked about that it took either mental health crisis or a physical crisis to make them realize something didn't happen. You know, I often talk about it's the Facebook post. You see the family and they're all dressed up and everybody looks good. But I can often see those posts and know that that child has a reading disorder, that one has trichotillomania, that one has an anxiety disorder, that one over drinks. And so it's that myth of everything that we see looking so wonderful. And we have to debunk that. We have to have a conversation.
Patty, I said,
that's why I didn't fix my hair today.
I love that. I love that message because I say, God, it's one of the things I say to people all the time. Every single family has challenges. don't think that there, sure, there are these families out there that are right out of the Leave It to Beaver area or family tie. Every single
family. Well, there's so much pressure on that, especially challenges around holidays and around family gatherings.
But we need to talk
gatherings
about it. If we don't talk about it, and every one of my guests said, Patty, thank you for doing this, because if we don't talk about it, nobody knows it exists. One of them, I had two fabulous attorneys coming on, and they said, Patty, as Black attorneys, we never had a role model. And so two of them ended up going to Howard University, a couple down to FAMU down here. But they talked about, until Michelle Obama came along, they didn't know that that was something they could also aspire to. That's a fascinating conversation to listen to. The other one,
I think Kamala Harris is right there too right now.
Right, but you got to understand that Michelle came along for these Black women, that there, you know, that was somebody that was out in the forefront, you know, and some of the others, I'm just bringing up what they said. I'm not saying that there weren't many, many, many beautiful women in prior to that. The other thing we really talk about is decision fatigue, and nobody gets what decision fatigue, and it's a thing. I make life or death decisions all day long for my clients or help them through them. So when I walk in my door and somebody says, hey, Patty, what do you want for pizza? I go, I don't know. Well, Patty, do you want pepperoni or vegetables? I don't know. Where do you want to go to dinner? I don't know. We're done making decisions.
Right.
And so we need to help educate the family and friends around us, those people that make attorneys, therapists, nurses, doctors, make decisions for people on the simple things like dinner and where we're going and what we need to do, because it's decision fatigue. And that's the very beginning of moving into burnout. And once somebody moves into burnout, nobody understands. That's probably one of the hardest things to ever get out of. We can prevent it. That's why I'm doing this summit. How do prevent some of these things?
Sounds great, Patty. And one of the, you know, everything you say just resonates. I don't know how you got so damn smart when your brothers are all just plodding along. You know, I don't know what happened there, but I always say, when you talk about that decision fatigue and recognizing in others, one of the hardest things there is for, I don't care whether it's brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, best friends living together, is to recognize in your partner, whoever that partner may be, what they need at that moment. In other words, you know, it's, I can remember days, boy, you personalize everything when you talk, right? And I remember days, you know, as county executive, I'd come home and made a particular number of decisions. And Linda was really good at being able to recognize tonight, that's not a really good time to ask him if he wants to go down somewhere this weekend. You know, he's about decided out. And I never thought about it. I give her a shout out. I never thought about how perceptive she was until you just said that. It's like she could take a look and say, I think I'm not going to run that by him right now. So,
but I think if we have the conversation and it opens it up.
Terrific.
One of the things that we talked about in the summit is people learning to be able to say, yeah, time out on decisions. Can you make the decision on dinner?
Yeah.
We also have to learn how to voice what we have, and to watch these phenomenal women come on. Here's another one. I loved this message. One of the attorneys came on and said, I did a total disservice to my children. And I was like, ooh, this is going to be good. And the conversation was, is that I was so used to being an attorney and making decisions and when the brief is and when I go to court and what is happening and on a schedule. When I got home, I didn't make the transition. So I remained in an attorney as I came home, and versus asking any of the kids to kind of help with cutting and chopping or setting the table, it was just easier to do it the way I wanted it and get it done. And she said, but I didn't have children that launched. And she said, that's on me. And so we really talk about that transition time from work, which, again, back to pandemic, how do I transition from this desk to this desk for lunch and dinner. There's no transition. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do this summit, is we're lacking transition.
You know, the first time I saw that, Patty, and we'll wrap up here in a minute or two. Nestor, I want to make a crab cake comment while we have my sister on. But the first time I really saw that piece you're talking about, the need for transition, was mm-hmm. when my daughter got transferred to a principalship that was probably 45 seconds from her home, mm-hmm. as opposed to a 30 to 35 minute commute. And I can remember several months after she had been at that school, and she was, you know, she loved the school and loved the community. I said, boy, I bet you love the no commute, huh? And she goes, Dad, you know what?
Really?
It's the one thing I hate. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, that 30 to 35 minutes in that car, in that yeah. commute, was my downtime to decompress. She said, I don't have that now. I leave work and I'm right back in the middle of home and having to deal with everything that's home. And she said, I had no idea how I would miss the commute. So again, folks, you'll want to be part of this global summit. Just go on Patty Mower Counseling. They'll find it, Patty.
I think they'll actually find it on renewrestoreretreat.com.
That's Patty's book. You can also find that Amazon, wherever you get your books. Patricia, before we let you go, full disclosure,
yes.
I have outed you on Baltimore Positive. Nestor is about to do the great crab cake tour in the state of Maryland. And we have a simple rule. You never get a crab cake, right, Nestor, outside of the state of Maryland. And I said, believe it or not, because I put all my faith in her, my wonderful sister in Ponte Vedra, Florida, one time said to me, now, I know you don't eat crab cakes outside of Maryland, but this is a really good one. You have to get it. And I thought, well, it's my sister. She knows crab cakes. She's been in Maryland a number of times. And I ordered the crab cake. And I looked at her and I simply said, sis, this is not a Maryland.
Why would
crab
you do
cake.
That?
I don't know why she did that to me, Nestor.
I mean, did they have something else on the menu? I mean, some chicken or something, a steak, something, you know, some fish. I don't know.
And this is a young lady that knows crab cakes.
I order them. You ask my son. That's the big gift out of the year, is that several times that I ship him crab cakes.
And well, ship them from Fadley's. That's all you have to do.
I do. I ship them straight to Alice. I ship them here.
What a good mom.
Well, we'll ship you in at some point and be in the same room, not socially distanced, and over at El Guapo or State Fair or over at Fadley's if you wish when we get together. Patty Mohler is Don's sister. She counsels, renew and restore, communicate, connect, celebrate. The invitation to change is happening. Go up to the website, learn more about it. Find her TED Talk as well. On behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Mohler, I am Nestor. We're having some wise conversations around here. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.